What's up, y'all? Summer's got a different tempo. Everything's a little looser, brighter. One plan turns into another. You hear something, you stay a little longer. Next thing you know, you're somewhere you didn't plan to be. It's those in-between moments. That's where the ideas hit. Conversations stretch out, little memories sneak up on you. And sometimes, it's just about what's in your hand. That color, that chill. The new Tropical Butterfly Refresher from Starbucks. Guava and passion fruit flavors with mango pineapple flavored pearls. Yeah, that feels like summer before you even taste it. Funny how one small stop becomes the best part of the day. Start your summer rhythm with Starbucks. Try the new Tropical Butterfly Refresher from Starbucks.
2 days call for cookouts and lots of laundry. This Memorial Day at Lowe's, save $80 on a Charbroil Performance Series 4-Burner Gas Grill. Now just $199. Plus, get up to 45% off select major appliances to keep dishes, clothes, and food fresh. Having fun in the sun is easy with us in your corner. Our best lineup is here at Lowe's. Valid through 5/27. While supplies last, selection varies by location. See associate or Lowe's.com for details.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
This is chaos. The Nancy Guthrie story, 1,000% chaos. There's a lot of information out there right now. There's a lot of misinformation out there right now. There's a lot of information out there that, you know, quite honestly, as you try and wade through it, you go, is this reportable? Is this a thing? Is this being held back? Is this nothing? Is this someone's opinion? Is this... That's what happens when you have a void of information. People fill in blanks. We are going to do our best to accurately fill in those blanks as best we can based on the information, but at the end of the day, this is an opinion piece. This is something where you're going to have to take a look at where everything stands, depending on the time you watch this, because quite honestly, things keep changing hour by hour. It's very hard to report on this story in a timely manner other than live, because it changes. So we're going to get into everything we can right now. Look, we have no one to say, this is who did this, this is who you should be looking at. We're going to take a look at everybody and everything that's being looked at right now and let the cards fall where they may. And at the end of the day, the goal is one thing: get Nancy Guthrie back alive. If she is out there alive to be brought back. It's probably something a lot of folks don't want to hear right now. But I think the reality is she may not be out there to be brought back. Based on the information that we've seen so far, I think that's a very valid question. Let's get into it, okay? And your thoughts in the comments section on YouTube or our Substack, hiddenkillers.substack.com. The links to our YouTube channel and a Substack all in the description. Please hit subscribe right now wherever you're watching us so you don't miss any of the coverage of this and the many cases that we're following for you. Monday, February 9th at 5 p.m. is another deadline. $6 million in Bitcoin. Nancy Guthrie supposedly dies if that demand is not met. That is what is sitting on the table as this case continues to move forward and the country watches an 84-year-old woman's life tick down to a clock set by someone supposedly, as far as anyone can tell, has no intention of following through on any of it, if they're even real. if they even have the woman. As far as we know, we have not seen proof of life. Now, could there be things going on behind the scenes that they don't feel the rest of us need to know about? Yes, without a doubt. When you're fighting for the life of someone, there could be a lot going on behind the scenes. Let's hope that that's happening. But we're dealing with what we know. Here's the thing nobody is saying clearly enough. Yes, the ransom note does include a Bitcoin wallet address. TMZ has verified that. Do you understand how that works? You think you do, or you do? So the Bitcoin wallet, TMZ has verified it. It is a real address on the blockchain. The family could, in theory, send $6 million in cryptocurrency to that wallet right now. But that is where the mechanics of this so-called kidnapping for ransom fall apart completely. The note, and this is according to Harvey Levin, who read it, who held it, who described it on Hannity and CNN in detail. The note explicitly told the Guthrie family, you will have no way of contacting me. Not, you'll have some difficulty. I'm elusive. I'm a kidnapper. Now, contact will be limited. You will have no way. The note also stated, according to TMZ, that this will be their only communication, and they are done communicating and negotiating, which they've done none of. Here's the deal. No proof of life. No proof of life was included. No photograph, no voice recording, no phrase. Only Nancy would know. No confirmation that she's alive. No mechanism to arrange an exchange. No way to verify that dropping $6 million into a cryptocurrency wallet results in anything at all. So what are you actually buying? You'd be sending $6 million in a digital void with absolutely zero assurance that anyone sends Nancy home. And every law enforcement professional who has spoken publicly about this case knows it. CNN's Josh Campbell, a former FBI agent who personally worked kidnapping cases, confirmed that the family's public plea on Instagram means there is no private line of communication with anyone claiming to hold Nancy. None. Former FBI Deputy Director Andrew McCabe told CNN he has no question that the FBI's hostage negotiators helped craft the family's Saturday video, every word of it. Three officials briefed on the investigation confirmed to NBC News that the Saturday video was specifically in response to the second note, the one sent to KOLD on Friday, the one that contained no demands, no deadline, no proof of life. The family said, we will pay, in response to a message that did not ask for anything. That's not a family negotiator with a kidnapper. This is an FBI-directed communication strategy, and it was not designed to move Bitcoin. Let me back up, because the details of these notes matter, and these mean there's more than one note. I know this is confusing. I'm sorry if you're following along and you're like, wait a second. I know. Just buckle up, sit down, absorb the information, and at the end of the day, you'll see how all the pieces of the puzzle land. We're not, at the end of this, you're not going to have a neatly put together puzzle. You're going to have some chunks of it here. You're going to have a couple pieces over here. And you're going to have some Legos that are in the box of the puzzle that don't seem to fit. You know, when you're a kid and you have your board games or a puzzle or whatever, and you dump it down, and it's like, oh, we're out of Monopoly pieces, but good thing we have Candyland. And you dump it on the ground or on your table and just, everything is everywhere. That is this. That is what's going on right here. And somebody, the dog ate the rules. How about that? The dog ate the rule card. Somebody's trying to figure out how to play a game no one's heard of, and everything in the game is in a foreign language that exists. So that's what people are trying to figure out here. That's how complex, that's how convoluted this whole thing is. Because you're dealing with two things, fact and hope, and they're in two totally different lanes. Because fact at this moment in time doesn't seem to intersect or even take any sort of detour or go on an underpass or an overpass of the lane of fact. Hope is over here, here's fact. Hope is weaving in and out. And when it's your mother and it's all you have, you are going to cling to any shred of hope that exists. I am not faulting the Guthries for saying we will pay. Not one bit. What do you do in a situation like this? It's easy to Monday morning quarterback it going, well, you're crazy. Why would you? It's your mom. And if you have the resources, at the end of the day, it's a dollar figure on an account. And that's a life that has started and will end or already has ended. And you're doing your damnedest to try and get more out of that life. All four media outlets receive ransom communications, KOLD in Tucson, KGUN in Tucson, TMZ in Los Angeles, and at least one other Tucson station. TMZ's co-executive producer told News Nation the second Tucson station received its note about an hour before TMZ got theirs on Tuesday morning. The notes demanded millions of dollars in Bitcoin and were sent to newsrooms, not the family. KGUN, which is the name of a station, KGUN, it's called KGUN in Tucson, went further than any other outlet on Saturday night. Reporter J.J. McKinney said on the air that the note sent to KGUN demanded $6 million by 5 p.m. on Monday, February 9th, with a direct threat on Nancy's life. If the deadline was not met, then KGUN pulled the video, deleted it from X, took it down without public explanation. Law enforcement has not confirmed the ransom amount. That's a newsroom that got ahead of itself, realized it, and walked it back. But $6 million is now in the public record, and multiple outlets, including CNN, have reported KGUN's account. The notes contain details that were not publicly available when they were sent. According to reporting from TMZ, the FBI, and multiple outlets that reviewed the contents, the notes referenced, and here's where we get into some gray area, because are these things guessable? Yeah. If you followed Nancy to the grocery store one time, you'd probably have these answers. Or if you just took some wild guesses and simply went with odds. The notes apparently referenced Nancy's Apple Watch, a destroyed backyard floodlight, and details about what she was wearing the night she disappeared. Levin and TMZ and officials have described the notes as grammatically perfect and well-structured, with wording that suggested familiarity with the Tucson area. TMZ said there's just something in the wording that they talk about what happens if they receive the Bitcoin. What would be the next steps that pointed to something or someone local? Levin told Fox News Hannity that the note said Nancy is safe but scared and that she is aware of the demands being made. These are not details that come from a Google search. These are details that require physical knowledge of that house and physical proximity to Nancy Guthrie, supposedly on the night of January 31st. At least that's what a lot of people are clinging to. I would argue, and I think most minds would argue, maybe not. But again, we don't know what we don't know. And I'm hoping maybe there's something on the other side of this. We'll find out later that they said, see, and this is what led them to confirm or believe privately that the note is real. I hope to God they have that. According to TMZ's reporting, the note also included escalating consequences. If the first deadline, 5 p.m. Thursday, was missed, the demand would change. If the ransom was not fulfilled by February 9th, there would be a more serious consequence. So the first deadline passed Thursday with no follow-through, no escalation, no change in demands, pretty much nothing. The second note arrived Friday, different IP address, but according to KOLD News, News Director Jessica Bobla, the author attempted to prove they had written the first. It came through KOLD's anonymous online tip system, just like the first. It contained no demands, no deadline, no proof of life. KOLD is not calling it a ransom note. They're calling it a message. And the people closest to the content, the journalists who actually read these communications, are choosing their words carefully. Meanwhile, a California man named Derek Kalela was arrested on federal charges for sending a separate fake ransom demand directly to the Guthrie family. According to the criminal complaint, Kalela texted Annie Guthrie and her husband asking, "Did you get the Bitcoin?" We're waiting on our end for the transaction. He admitted to the FBI that he was not involved in Nancy's disappearance. His arrest is not connected to the notes sent to media outlets. It is, however, a reminder of how many people are trying to exploit this family's nightmare. And how some people are really into how the flock of seagulls looked in 1987. Have you seen the guy's picture? It's like, oh my God, he quantum leaped. Yeah, I didn't know. Today, styles are so, like, I feel like we're in a world where, like, every decade of style is just like a trend. It's a group. It has a tribe, and people wear this one. I don't know. I haven't really seen a lot of this since 1987, and I was in a stroller going through Forest Mall. Look, flock of seagulls. Oh, he apparently also kidnapped Nancy Guthrie. Oh, wait, no, he's just needing money. So that's the ransom picture, a real Bitcoin address, but no communication channel. Intimate knowledge of the home, but no proof of life. Escalating threats, but no follow through when the first deadline passed. A second message with no demands. And a family on Instagram saying, we will pay on instructions from the FBI in response to a note that did not ask for money. Whatever this is, and I want to be very precise here, the behavioral profile of these notes does not match for how kidnapping for hire or for ransom operations work. Not in the FBI's experience. Not in any textbook, not in any case I've ever covered. A retired NYPD sergeant told Fox News, this case might rewrite textbooks because there's so many different oddities going on. This is a polite way of saying this does not add up. It's not going to rewrite any textbooks because it's not a freaking lesson. Let's talk about what is actually happening in Tucson, because if you take your eyes off the random clock and watch the forensic activity, what investigators are doing, not what they're saying, this case tells you a very different story. Now, I also want to say this as we go into this part of the story. I am not saying anyone is guilty or has anything to do with this. We are going to be discussing the reporting that is out there in the ether. All right. That's what we're about to do. Allergies are horrible here today, by the way, so I apologize if I'm sniffling a bit. Start with the crime scene. And let's get your thoughts on this if you've not already commented. Hey, there's no better time than now. YouTube or Substack, the links are in the description. Let's start with the crime scene. When investigators arrived at Nancy's home on Sunday afternoon, February 2nd, now we've had two Sundays in this, so let's back up to the first Sunday. This is not just the other day. This is the second, the beginning of the month. They found blood on the front porch, later confirmed through DNA analysis as belonging to Nancy. The Associated Press reported signs of forced entry at the home, citing an unnamed source. Though Sheriff Chris Nanos has not confirmed that detail. He was busy at a basketball game. The Ring doorbell camera had been physically removed from a wall. A backyard floodlight was destroyed. Ashley Banfield. We know Ashley. I've been on Ashley's show many times. Said a law enforcement source reported that multiple Nest cameras inside the home were smashed, though Nanos pushed back on that at Thursday's press conference, saying he was not confirming that any cameras were smashed or destroyed around the house. Nancy apparently did not have an active camera subscription, meaning even where motion was detected, no video was recoverable. It is concerning. It's actually almost disappointing because you've got your hopes up, Nanos told the Associated Press. Okay, they got an image. Well, we do, but we don't. And all of Nancy's belongings were still inside, allegedly her phone, her wallet, her car, her daily medication, everything except Nancy. Now, I know we just also said two different names of camera brands, Ring. And Nest, two different cameras, and it's been reported both ways. I'll tell you this. From the photos that we saw of Brian Enten's reporting when he was at the doorstep of Nancy, where the blood was, you know, when they released the scene, when Nanos dropped the ball spectacularly, The fixture, the affixing piece that was on the wall of Nancy's house next to her door, where if you have a digital doorbell, a camera doorbell, you know, it comes off the piece that attaches to the house. That, you know, this is the house. The piece kind of slides on there, and it just it's held. That was for not a ring. That camera display that were the piece that was there was not a ring fixture. That was the other brand that was up there on her wall. Just judging by shape. Now, does that mean much? No. But when details matter, I mean, the camera brand is the camera brand. There's Ring and there's Nest. That was a Nest setup. Just saying. Anyway. Then came a series of decisions by the Pima County Sheriff's Department that may define this case more than the ransom note ever could. They released the crime scene back to the family on Monday. You know, like you do. One day. Because we haven't seen this work out horribly in other cases. Alec Murdaugh, Ellen Greenberg. There's many a cases. 24 hours after Nancy was reported missing in what they themselves were calling a possible kidnapping, Sheriff Nanos told reporters on Tuesday, the scene is done. We're done with the residents. Except they weren't. That statement aged about as well as you could expect. Investigators came back Wednesday, then Thursday, then Friday, then Saturday, then Sunday. And they're probably there as we're recording this right now. Crime scene tape finally went up and came down and went back multiple times. A Fox News analyst said plainly that during those gaps, when the scene was unsecured, anyone could have planted or removed evidence. When reporters asked Nanos about potential contamination, about what those gaps meant for chain of custody, about what a defense attorney might do with those evidentiary holes, Nanos said, I'll let the courts worry about that. Yeah, you do that, you fucking idiot. You do that. You'll let the courts worry. Actually, you know, that's part of your job as a competent investigator. Oh, wait, you're not that. He later admitted he could have held off on releasing the scene. He also admitted he should have brought in the FBI sooner. You know, basically, he failed at everything. Why we tolerate people like this in positions of power is beyond me, but we sure do it a lot. I don't know if it's because they're old and they look wise, like they might be able to play the role on a Lifetime movie of a police detective, but really they're qualified to work at a closed down family video. That's this guy. Should have moseyed off into retirement maybe a decade or two ago. But no, this is what you get. So when something horrible happens in the area where nothing horrible seems to happen very much, very low crime rate in this area. So before everybody's like, see? It's close to the Mexican border. Yeah, this town, this area where she lives, the crime rate is dismal, which is probably why people keep their doors unlocked. So before you start filling in the blanks of what you think reality is, how about we look at the actual stats? This is a very low crime area, also meaning Sheriff Nanos probably has very little experience fighting actual crime. Of this nature, of this magnitude anyway. So, that being said, you don't have a lot of reps in this. You don't have a lot of experience. You're probably not going to do the greatest of jobs. It's not a crazy thought to have. It's just, you know, reality, and a reality you don't want when that's your sheriff. On Friday, 5 full days after the initial processing, agents found a camera on the roof of the house. It had been missing in previous searches 5 days. Oh, hey guys, here's a camera here. In a case where the doorbell camera was physically apparently ripped off the wall and the absence of video has been one of the investigation's biggest obstacles. Surprise! There's another camera on the roof of a house. We've been in control up for 5 days. I don't know, call me crazy, but I feel like a bunch of people who watched Dateline once or twice in their life could have done a better investigative job than Nanos did out of the gate. Call me crazy. Former NYPD Inspector Paul Murrow called it a camera investigators apparently hadn't been aware of it. That camera on the roof, missed for, yeah, apparently. Apparently so. Or they hadn't looked. And then came Sunday, day 8, and what happened on Sunday should have changed the way everyone is talking about the case. Fox flight team drone footage captured investigators at a septic tank behind Nancy's property. The footage is specific and it's disturbing. Investigators with a long pole reportedly jabbing it into the tank, using a flashlight to peer inside. One investigator in a sheriff's vest holding a notebook. When you're searching septic tanks on the victim's own property in a case that has been publicly described as a kidnapping for ransom, the investigation has moved in a direction that the public statements have not caught up with. Probing a septic tank on an 84-year-old woman's property is not what you do when you believe she's being held alive somewhere for a ransom exchange. That is a search for evidence. And the kind of evidence you look for in a septic tank is the kind nobody wants to talk about on television. At the same time, investigators visited a Circle K gas station about 10 minutes from Nancy's home. And according to the New York Post, about half a mile from her daughter Annie's residence, a Circle K spokesperson confirmed to NBC News that they provided law enforcement access to surveillance footage. But the most specific detail came from a gas station employee who spoke to Fox News Digital. The employee said investigators told them they were looking for a guy that got away. That's not an official statement. That's not from a press conference. That's a gas station worker supposedly repeating what a deputy told them on a Saturday morning. But in 9 days of official silence from the Pima County Sheriff's Department about suspects, it's the closest thing to a physical description of what investigators are actually looking for that's emerged publicly. A separate gas station also reported a suspicious vehicle to the FBI. NBC News confirmed that law enforcement was searching for a vehicle or vehicles that may or may not be connected to the case. Language that is deliberately noncommittal and designed to preserve room for every possible direction. Investigators were also photographed Thursday afternoon at a staging area in a mall parking lot, minutes from Nancy's home, studying what Paul Murrow identified as a topographic map. Looks like something they were going to use to grid out to keep track of search areas, Murrow said on Saturday. Investigators were seen carrying a rolled map into Pima County Sheriff's Department headquarters. You grid out search areas when you're looking for something specific in specific terrain. You bring topographic maps into headquarters when the search has narrowed, not when it's expanding. And over the weekend, law enforcement activity at other locations intensified. On Saturday evening, according to CNN, Fox News Digital, and News Nation, at least three or four members of the Pima County Sheriff's Department arrived at the home of Nancy's daughter, Annie, in unmarked white SUVs and a truck. Deputies were inside for approximately 3 hours. Lights were dim, shades drawn, but bright photography flashes were observed through the windows. Fox News Digital captured video of the flashes. At one point, a jacket was placed over a window to block the view from media outside. Officials left shortly after 10:30 p.m. Fox News Digital observed a deputy loading a white case into his vehicle, which had been carried inside earlier, along with what appeared to be a brown grocery-sized bag, when deputy was observed exiting wearing blue latex gloves. Reporters on scene also reported hearing clanking noises from inside the home, suggesting deputies were moving or handling items. Coffendaffer, retired FBI special agent, as you all know, we talked to her Friday, regular contributor to our program, told News Nation the activity on the evidence extraction is what was going on. On Sunday, according to Fox 10 Phoenix, investigators returned to Ann's home again, this time focusing on the garage and bedrooms with what appeared to be forensic photography flashes. No suspects have been named. No one in the family has been accused of any wrongdoing by authorities. All individuals are presumed innocent, but the documented investigative activity is what it is, and it's observable. What does it mean? It means they're looking at everything and anything they possibly can at this moment in time. If you were the last people with the missing person, yes, you're going to have a microscope on you. Does it mean you did anything wrong? No. It means they are looking at you closely. And I want to say this too, specifically about Ashley's reporting on this, with what she has put out, with what News Nation has put out, talking about who they believe, according to their source, is the prime suspect here. That could be completely accurate. It also doesn't mean it's the right suspect. I'm throwing, yes, you, the two can mutually exist. There are plenty of cases where you have a source within law enforcement that is telling you, this is our prime suspect right now. And the person who actually did it could be in a completely different lane and not the prime suspect. Just because someone has a prime suspect doesn't make that person immediately guilty either. They could be looking very closely at someone because they don't have a lot of other places to look. And once they really look close, they could walk away going, that did not pan out. But the statement that was made earlier, the statement, if true, if Ashley's source is correct, that that is the prime suspect at that moment in time, that would be accurate. But it doesn't mean they're guilty. There's a big difference. It means that's who they're looking for at or looking at that moment in time. Most cases, if you dig all the way back to the beginning of them, you will find people who are prime suspects. And then upon more digging, are dismissed, are not considered prime suspects. Were they at one point in time? Could they? Yes. Yes, without a doubt. And have nothing to do with the actual crime. But could the statement be true at one moment in time? Yes. And that statement might have been true at that moment in time. And today, at this moment in time, it might not be at all. It doesn't mean the reporting was inaccurate or false. It means that that moment in time, the information that was given was that. Should you run with it? Should you report that? That's up to every individual reporter on how they're going to handle something like that. Especially if that person turns out not to be the person. But we don't know. We don't know the answer to any of these questions right now. I'm just pointing out the two can be completely accurate. It could turn out that that person has absolutely nothing to do with this, but her reporting can be 1,000% accurate because at the time, that's what the source said. But like I said, that's where you have to look and go, should that be reported? She's a reporter with far more reps in this world than I have. So I'm not going to be the one to judge. I'm just pointing out the reality of how these sort of things can work. She ain't no green reporter. She knows what she's doing. I respect her. I think she's a great reporter. I think Brian Enten's a great reporter. And I think whatever they're putting out there has some legs to it, has some teeth to it. Is it what's going to pan out to be factual, to be who's responsible? That's completely up in the air. But as one who's trying to report on events as they're churning away, those two aren't going to be putting out information that they're just pulling off of a Reddit thread. Now, where was Sheriff Chris Nanos on Saturday evening while his deputies were photographing the interior of a family member's home and leaving with evidence bags at 10:30 p.m.? Well, the Guthrie family was on Instagram holding hands and telling a purported kidnapper, "We will pay." While an 84-year-old woman with a pacemaker was spending her seventh night away from the medication her family says she needed to survive, if she's out there. Mr. Nanos, Sheriff, Barney Fife, he was at the University of Arizona basketball game, sitting near the front row, Arizona versus Oklahoma State. Like you do when you're in the middle of a kidnapping murder investigation and literally the eyes of the world are on you. At that moment in time, you just couldn't resist
the siren call of the hoops. Remember the siren call of celebrity? Judge Gene Toll being quoted in the Alec Murdaugh case about Becky Hill. The siren call of celebrity. The siren call of basketball. Nattos couldn't resist, you know? People that have no clue about optics shouldn't be a sheriff. They shouldn't. Because that's, guess, it's part of the job. Optics are part of the job. It's not just modality of doing the job. It's how are people going to perceive what you're doing? Because you are the front line of communication. And if your attitude is, I don't care what people think about me, this ain't a job for you, sheriff. Fox News Digital obtained the photos and they went everywhere. And for a lot of people following this case, that image crystallized something that's been building all week, because this was not one bad look in an otherwise competent investigation. He hasn't been kicking ass all week and taking names. And it's like, dude, bro, I hate using that word. You earned it. Go take a couple hours, clear your mind, come back a stronger person. Now, one could look at it that way and go, everybody needs a break. And you do. You need kind of a palate cleanser if you're going to keep doing your job well. But I'm sorry, optics are everything. And if everybody else can be sitting there and not going to the basketball game and working their ass off on this, and you got your crew that's sitting there working their ass off on this, that family is dying waiting for their mom. Every reporter is out here working nonstop all week. And you're the sheriff, guess what? You don't get to go on the little break. Sorry, you can stand not going to the basketball game, Junior. Oh, that's just too much. You just need that basketball break. Well, guess what? You're not qualified to be sheriff either. This is a pattern. And the people saying it loudest were not outsiders. They were his own rank and file. Apparently, the people who work for this dolt also think he's a dolt. The Pima County Deputies Organization went public against Nattos. This is extraordinary. This is his own deputies union putting their names on criticism of their sheriff during an active investigation. And you know what we're also going to do here? Just so you're aware, this guy has a lot of other shit up his sleeve. This guy has a lot of other cases, a lot of complaints, a lot of issues from other things beyond this, and we're going to expose all of it. So buckle up, Nattos. Sergeant Aaron Cross, the organization's president, told Fox News Digital that experienced pilots had been reassigned from the Air Operations Unit in the weeks before Nancy's disappearance. The pilots trained on the department's Cessna search aircraft, the one equipped with high-resolution thermal imaging, the one with advanced sensors, the one specifically built for finding people in the desert terrain, was reassigned to street patrol after a personnel dispute with the sheriff. His ego was hurt. The pilot appealed the decision directly to Nattos. Nattos reassigned him anyway, allegedly. The pilot even made a personal plea to Sheriff Nattos, but allegedly was ignored, and he was sent to patrol, a union told Fox News Digital. This is unfortunately typical of Sheriff Nattos' leadership style. The organization also said the department's most experienced search and rescue deputy was transferred to patrol last year without a replacement, simply because he'd been there too long. That left a crucial unit short-staffed during what became, in the union's word, one of the highest-profile searches in PCSD history and during the busiest time of year for search and rescue. So he seems to really have his shit together, doesn't he? So when Nancy Guthrie disappeared from her home in the middle of the night, a helicopter went up, but it lacked thermal imaging, allegedly. The Cessna that was built for exactly that kind of search sat on the ground because the person certified to fly it had been punished for crossing the sheriff, for having a different opinion. The fixed-wing aircraft did not launch until approximately 5 p.m. Hours into the search, a law enforcement source with knowledge of the situation told Fox News Digital what everyone in that department already knew: 3 hours in a search for a vulnerable adult is an eternity. For someone's ego to finally calm down enough to go, yeah, maybe we should do this. And Nano's own response to the mounting scrutiny revealed more than he probably intended. He told reporters, and this is a direct quote, "Sometimes I'm speaking in generalities and I'm not used to everybody hanging on my words and then trying to hold me accountable for what I say, but I understand." Let me remind you, you're the sheriff. You're not used to people hanging on. Words matter. I'm sorry that you're just learning this as you've been the sheriff for how long now? That was his explanation for why he initially told NBC News that Nancy had been taken from her bed. A statement his department later clarified was figurative. Missing person investigation. I'm going to tell you specifically where she was taken from and then back it up by going, "I kind of pulled that out of my ass. Sorry, I'm not used to talking." Oh, it's a basketball game? Can we get tickets? Do they have nachos? Okay, great. I know. How? Why? Are we living in a simulation? How is there this much incompetence? It was around the same time he told NBC, "We know she was harmed at the home, but we don't know to what extent." Then told the Arizona Daily Star, "If I said that, I misspoke or something. If NBC came back for confirmation now, I wouldn't give it." The Tucson Sentinel ran an editorial suggesting Nano should stop talking to press entirely until there's something substantive to report. Oh, you think? His department may have taken that advice. Sunday's official statement was a single post on X. "The Nancy Guthrie investigation is ongoing. Follow-up continues at multiple locations. No suspects, person of interest, or vehicles have been identified. No scheduled press briefings. If any significant developments occur in the case, a press conference will be called." That's a department that has gone quiet. And departments go quiet for one of two reasons. They have nothing, or they are building towards something they're not ready to announce. Or their leadership is just so incompetent, everyone is begging them, just don't talk. Given what we can see from the outside, the septic tank probes, the gas station surveillance poles, the topographic map grids, what TMZ identified as a Cellbrite forensic extraction device carried into the family member's home by an agent wearing an ICAC shirt, the consecutive nights of evidence collection with photography flashes and deputies leaving with bags and cases, vehicles removed from properties, as what the sheriff's called standard investigative practices, and the president of the United States, take this for what it is, because I feel like this could be pulled out of someone's ass too, told reporters aboard Air Force One on Friday that the investigation was going very well and that a solution could come with definitive answers and the possibility of identifying a definitive suspect. "I do not believe they have nothing." FBI Director Cash Patel is receiving personal updates on the case. I know, doesn't it make you feel safe and like they really have it? So we go from that to that. I wonder if Cash got the right jacket so he can feel super official. Did he get off the plane? Look it up if you know what I'm talking about. Charlie Kirk case. Stayed on his plane because he needed the right jacket. Slowed down the investigation because he needed the right jacket. It'll look. Was more concerned about his vanity. Great example of how narcissism wins. Attorney General Pam Bondi, who has known Savannah Guthrie for more than 25 years, is receiving constant updates, according to Axios. So here's where it stands. Nancy Guthrie is 84 years old. She has a pacemaker that disconnected from her home at 2:28 a.m. on February 1st. She requires daily medication. Her family has said publicly that missing the medication could be fatal. She has now been without it for 9 days. Her church, St. Andrew's Presbyterian in Tucson, where she's been a devoted member, supposedly, because there's contradictory reporting on that, too, that she's only gone online, that she's not going there regular. Who knows? Who knows anymore? They asked everybody to pray for her. So, good. Okay. That's good. Appreciate that. hundreds attended a prayer service at a nearby church earlier this week, some driving as far as Phoenix. She raised her three children after her husband Charles died when Savannah was just 16. She lived alone in a quiet community in the Catalina foothills. And on the night of January 31st, she took an Uber to her daughter's home for dinner and games and was driven home afterwards. The garage door opened at 9:48 p.m. and closed at 9:50. By 1:47 a.m., the doorbell camera was disconnected. By 2:12 a.m., motion detection software registered a person at the home, but no video was captured because Nancy did not have an active camera subscription. By 2:28 a.m., her pacemaker app went dark. When her family went to check on her around noon the next day, after she missed church, she was gone. Phone on the counter, wallet inside, car in the garage, her blood on the front porch, doorbell camera ripped off the wall, and Nancy gone. 9 days later, the official position of the Pima County Sheriff's Department is that there are no suspects, no persons of interest, and no vehicle identified. The FBI is offering $50,000 for information. Multiple ransom notes are being vetted. A Bitcoin wallet address exists, but has produced no negotiation and no proof of life and no exchange mechanism. A deadline is here. 5 p.m. Monday, February 9th. That's the next one up from the time of our recording of this. And the investigation on the ground, the one you can see through drone footage and parking lot photographs and gas station employees and court filings, looks nothing like a kidnapping rescue operation and everything like a case that has already turned a corner the public is not being told about. And maybe that's fine. Thank goodness there are other agencies involved on this right now. Where does this go from here? That's a good question. Let me point out this. In active investigations, you do sometimes have the authorities giving you little to no information or flat out lying to the public. We have no suspects at this time. We need the public's help. We need this. That's what was going on in the Koberger investigation. James Fry, for the beginning, several days into it, while they were already actively tracing Brian Koberger, while they already had his name because of the DNA match from a knife sheath, they were still actively telling the public they did not know who they were looking for. They knew who they were looking for. They were telling the public a completely different story. Now, that was as to not tip off Koberger so they could keep following him. Could that be what's going on here right now? Yes. Is it what's going on here right now? We don't know. There are so many unknowns, and there's so many contradictory pieces to this story of seemingly basic facts that should be answered or answerable. There's a lot of chaos here a weekend. Usually that's reserved for the first few days. It seems to continue to be horrible, and I don't know if that's just because of the nature of what the case is, because of hope, because people, rightfully so, want her back and are going to hold on to that hope until there's no more hope to give. And you also have a department and a sheriff that is speaking out of both sides of his mouth and admitting it. Where is Nancy Guthrie? Is she still alive? That's the question. Your thoughts in the comment section on YouTube or Substack. Love for you to weigh in, love to get your thoughts. This is such a heartbreaking case. Of course, I mean, I hate the term thoughts and prayers because it just seems cliche, but obviously we certainly extend them without a doubt. I just feel like that's such a trite statement, you know? It certainly does not convey the hell that Savannah Guthrie and her family are going through right now. And if Nancy is still alive, what she might be going through right now. I feel like there should be something better to say than that. But sometimes it's all you're left with. When there's nothing actionable you can do other than talk about this. You
You give it to a higher power and hope, and hope, and you pray that against the odds, something good will come of this. And they'll get Nancy back. Your thoughts in the comment section, YouTube and Substack. The links are in the descriptions. And if you've not done so already, please press subscribe on our podcast platforms, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeart, wherever it may be. Press subscribe so you don't miss any of our reporting on this case. We will continue to cover it for you day by day. Right here. All right, we'll continue our conversation in the comments. Until then, I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
John Daly here. You know what day it is? Neither do I. I live life daily. That's why I only spend on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily. And the best part? Guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto, America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Hi, Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Moto Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Hi, Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Moto Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino's the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino. Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free to play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino. Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.